If you would turn with me, if you haven't already, to John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'd like to speak on the thought of joy and fruitfulness. And for some time, in praying about what we should share on this next series of messages, I have felt the need to share about joy. Because I think in this season of difficulty, of trial, of isolation, of all the things that are going on with COVID and the other things that are going on in our country, one of the things that we as a church have found fleeting within our hearts and lives is the feeling or the expression of joy. Jesus came that we might not only have joy, but as we're going to see in just a few moments as we read this text, that our joy, that inexpressible gladness and happiness, to a point where it's overflowing our soul, Jesus came that our joy might be full. And the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, quoting the book of Nehemiah, that God has provided for us, is not contingent upon our circumstances. Jesus didn't say when things are good, you're going to have joy, but when things are bad, it's okay to be sorrowful or discouraged. Irrespective of what's going on, because of who Jesus is and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, God has enabled us or given us the privilege to live in overwhelming joy. And we began to talk about that last week, about the grace of God. We looked at 2 Corinthians and we looked how Paul was going through a very difficult time and he was seeking God's face for deliverance from this demonic messenger that was tormenting him. And the response of God was, "My grace is sufficient for you." And grace is, as we talked about, is not just some abstract idea out there that understands that God grants us his favor, his forgiveness, and his love because he is a good and merciful God. Although that's all true, grace is something real and tangible that when we receive it in our lives, it transforms us to the point where our sorrow, and we saw this in Isaiah chapter 61, our sorrow or our despair is transformed immediately into joy and gladness. But there are other things that Scripture writes about, that Jesus talks about, that ushers joy in our lives, which we sincerely need, especially in these times of difficulty. And this morning, we're going to talk about how there is joy and fruitfulness. The subtitle to our message today is, "I am the true vine." Let's read verses 1 through 17 in John's Gospel, chapter 15, this morning. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your presence with us, O God. Your presence, Lord, in your holy word, because you are the Word made flesh. And your presence also through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, as we look to your word this morning, we once again ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to fill our hearts and lives. Give words this morning to this your speaker, and give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. As I mentioned in the intro this morning, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of joy. Isn't that something? The thing that the world looks for, and why I think alcohol is so, and drugs for that matter, why it is so popular in the world today, is that people are searching for joy. And because Jesus died and Jesus rose again and Jesus sent his new wine, the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to rest in our lives, we can live and we should live in perpetual joy. In fact, not only do we have this privilege, we have this command. We read this verse last week in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice, or be joyfully praise God always. And again, I say, rejoice. And in addition to being a people, and one of the keys to a joyful life of living in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is being a people of praise. But another calling expression of our lives or responsibility that we have that enables us to live in joy, according to this scripture that we read this morning, is being a fruitful people. Verse 11, once again, I have told you this. What? Abide in the vine. Be fruitful. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete, or your joy may be full. And I think there are several reasons why, when we're fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do experience joy. One we talked about it last week, and it's mentioned once again. When we are fruitful, the Bible tells us that when we pray in the scripture that we read this morning, we have confidence that God will hear and answer our prayers. It makes our prayer life alive. It makes our prayer life real. It's not just words that are going out somewhere in the atmosphere, and just because we're saying them, they're making us feel better because we're getting a few things off of our chest. When we pray, if we are fruitful, bless God, we know deep down in our heart that we're making a connection with the Heavenly Father and that God is going to answer our needs. But there are a couple other reasons why fruitfulness, above and beyond the moving of the Holy Spirit that comes with and a necessity for fruitfulness, that leads us to this place of joy. Number two this morning, a feeling of accomplishment. I think everyone when they're young, or near everyone when they're young, has great aspirations as far as what they want to do with their life. For some, it might be they're career-minded, so have a great career. Or some, they're education-minded, so they want to have a great education. For some, it's riches. For some, it's a skill and becoming skilled in this area. For some, it's family. For some, it's, you know, the American dream of a home and a job and a family. And I'm not saying anything against those things other than this. All those things, other than relationships, are temporal. Your PhD, your bank account, your career can bring you some sense of satisfaction, but at some point they come to an end. Almost, I won't say almost anyone, because some people will work to the day that they drop. Please excuse the expression this morning, but at some point, people who even love their job will retire from their job because they're not able to do their work anymore and because of their body or mind or other things, and they have to lay that aside. For those who might look to their physical selves for that feeling of joy and accomplishment, you can have those six-pack abs or run 20 miles or do whatever great physical feat, but at some point your body's going to break down and, for that matter, die. And people I've interacted with, especially older people, have realized or come to the realization that everything that is in this world, although it might pacify for some time, gives no true sense of accomplishment. When your life bears fruit because of your relationship with Jesus and the abiding presence of God upon your life, it brings true feelings of accomplishment, because you are able to both do and accomplish things that men can only dream about. And we'll talk about what things in just a few moments. But I'll just say two things about the accomplishments that come in those who know and serve Jesus. Number one, the accomplishments are excellent, bar none. But more importantly, the sense of accomplishment you have is unsurpassed, because the accomplishments that come through having a fruitful life in Jesus are eternal. And right along with that, the third way, in a sense a natural way that brings us to a place of joy when you and I are experiencing or having a fruitful life in Jesus, is going from a life that is aimless now to a life of purpose. You know, even the so-called least among us, if we find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, not only into our lives, but work through our lives, our lives now can be used in powerful ways, meaningful ways, eternal ways that will never fade away, ways that, number one, give glory and honor to God, and that build His kingdom, which will never fail and will never fade away. I think all of us, at least in some sense of our lives, want our lives to be about something. I look at people, especially people of renown who have accomplished something in their field, whether it's militarily or politically or in sports or some other aspect. One of the things that brings honor to them is having a statue placed someplace, you know, if it's a sports person, in front of a stadium or in the center of town, giving them some sort of lasting or seemingly eternal legacy. Which is all very good and well for the moment, but the hard truth of the matter is it's not an eternal legacy. In fact, and I know there's a lot of debate about statues today and people pulling down statues, and actually I guess there's a lesson that can be learned in that. And when was the last time you went to a park and you looked at every single statue and read about some of the obscure people that no one even knows anything about because what they did was done so long ago? And you went just to behold that statue, to be mindful of this person and be reminded of what they've done and give them honor and respect. I dare say no one has done it in a long time. And I know as far as my own life, there are statues here and monuments here in the city of Norwich that I've never seen, nor do I care to see. Because all those accomplishments, all they have to do is with what's with the natural and eternal that all passes away. But when you, according to the Word of God, give so much as a cup of water in His name, the Bible says that is something that will last into that small gift. Will be something that is recognized and will last into eternity. God can take that small gift and reach and touch someone that can be an open door to the gospel coming into their lives, them finding Jesus, or if they know Jesus, being reminded that Jesus loves them and cares for them, and that small act can have eternal value that will or great value that will last through eternity. And purpose brings great joy. Let's talk about the calling to be fruitful upon our lives this morning. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get through the entirety of this message today. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll be a two-parter. Number one, the calling that we have is first fruitfulness. The nature of our fruitfulness is to bring things into existence, so to speak. And we don't really do that. It's God who's working through us. So I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me when I say that. But it's to bring things into existence that will last forever. John chapter 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Skipping down to verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So the nature of the fruit that God has called us to accomplish is fruit that will last eternally. Let me ask you something, minister out there. And who am I speaking out to when I speak to ministers? I'm speaking to all of us who a minister is, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. A minister is someone who bears fruit for the kingdom of God in their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this speaks to us all. Now, there's two ways that we can go about being fruitful. Number one, we can go about being fruitful using our own energy to do our own thing, to execute our own plan. I doubt if I took a survey today, there would be anyone who knows Jesus and who takes this calling of fruitfulness very serious. I doubt there will be anyone here who would say, we don't want to see the kingdom of God built and grow and expand. And we also don't want to see, people find Jesus and all those wonderful things that happen through a fruitful life and God being glorified. I think we all would, but how we go about doing it can sometimes come into question, which is why we need to examine ourselves time to time as far as not only what God has called us to do, but how we are going about doing it. And are we, and this is the question that I posed to you this morning, are we investing our time and our energies into doing things for the kingdom of God that won't last? Or are we doing things as far as trying to establish and build the kingdom and bring honor and glory to Jesus that will last through eternity? And what I mean by that, that will bring change to people's lives. And I'll use the church as an example this morning, and you can apply this to your life any old way that you would like. But as far as the church, we could spend a lot of time, a lot of resources, a lot of manpower, a lot of money in building great, beautiful, state-of-the-art buildings in order to build the kingdom of God. You know, we could decide as a church today, I'm holding an emergency board meeting right now. No, I'm just kidding. That we're going to sell this property, we're going to buy the biggest property right on the highway, and we're going to build a 1,000-seat or a 5,000-seat arena, and it's going to have this, this, and that. I'm going to pour all of our time, all of our money, and all of our resources because we really need a big building. And let me say this. I don't have anything against big buildings. I don't have anything against big churches. God bless them. I don't have anything against those things. But buildings aren't going to bring people to Jesus. Or beautiful sound or comfortable, and we have comfortable chairs, and I thank God for that. But if all of our efforts and all of our monies and all of our time is being sucked into something that's not going to last, instead of doing what God has called us to do, which is preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what are we going to be left with when everything is said and done? The answer is nothing. And let me tell you two fallouts that can happen. Number one, you can build a big, beautiful building and have a lot of naturally attractive things in that building as far as music and different things. But if you're not abiding in the vine and you are not ministering under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, as God's word tells us to in this portion of Scripture, you might have a lot of people, but you will not see any fruit in their lives of genuine repentance, of being born again, of being transformed in the name of Jesus and becoming fruitful disciple makers themselves. Secondly, And really, the only thing that gives life to a church is when a church abides in the power and the presence of God. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, says Jesus in this scripture. A church that is not abiding in Jesus is a dead church. In fact, reading the book of Revelation chapter 2, one of the best looking churches as far as the outside, good doctrine, good teaching, good preaching, everything, good works, everything was great, was a church that was in danger of losing the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they lost their first love and no longer were abiding in the vine. No longer spending time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, cultivating his presence in their lives, moving and working under his power. And so they were in danger of dying. And there are a lot of church buildings, and churches go through ups and downs for a variety of reasons, but there are some church buildings, I'll say that, that are empty monuments of what once was. Why? Because they are no longer abiding in the vine. You know, all their resources went into that building instead of what they should have been as far as preaching and teaching Jesus. Good fruit, or a fruitful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is someone who bears lasting fruit. And so they are concerned with knowing what God, what God's calling is, what the Word of God says, feels the direction, but also the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and goes ahead and does it in the name of Jesus. Another aspect, fruitfulness can bring about, brings the Father glory through good works. God is glorified. But two more things I want to share with you before I conclude this morning regarding true fruitfulness, the fruitfulness that God has called us to. Number one, and this is something that we need to get back to, and it's not by following a method or a plan. It's by getting connected with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit once again. The purpose of fruit is to reproduce. What's in the center of every fruit that you could possibly pick and eat is always a seed. Wouldn't it be great? In fact, you know, they have seedless watermelon. They have little teeny seeds in them. But you know, the only way for a fruit not to have seeds, like the seedless watermelon, is for man to come in and engineer it away. I hope that doesn't describe your spiritual life, where you know, you're red, ripe, and juicy, but you got no seed. Fruit contains seed, and the purpose of seed is to reproduce. And what we have been called to do, and what's been a very, very difficult struggle, especially for you and me in New England, is to reproduce the kingdom of God. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The purpose of the believer is to make other believers. And there's only actually two sure ways that we can accomplish reproduction and this calling of fruitfulness upon our lives. Number one, we be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the only way that true seed, good seed, is going to form in our lives where we can deliver it in a powerful and authoritative way is if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the seed that is within us isn't just a nice platitude or poem or you know, feel-good pep talk. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. So if we're to be fruitful, we need to, number one, be people who make disciples, which means our words need to be seasoned with salt or seasoned with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be, again, we need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we are seeking God, and this has to be part of your prayer life each and every day, seeking God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life, filling yourself up with the Word of God, become skilled in the gospel. Read Romans, read Galatians, read John chapter 3. Know them. Share them in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you will bear much fruit. You will reproduce. Which is what? That's what being a disciple is. And when you share the gospel with others and lead them to Jesus, you're going to reproduce. I'm going to say something that might cut to the heart this morning, but I think we all need to hear it, including myself. We can reproduce who we are in Jesus, but too often I think we do reproduce who we are in Jesus. Can you let that sink in for a moment? Too often, I think the problem with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is we reproduce who we are in Jesus. And if we're wishy-washy, lukewarm, shallow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the best that we could possibly hope for in someone, and I doubt they even rise to that level. Because that's really not a gospel that anyone the Lord Jesus Christ is going to attract anyone to. We're called to make disciples, to bring people to faith in Jesus. And notice this isn't the same thing. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Invest in those people. Let me say this, and I think I'll end with this point today. Not all of us are called to be Billy Graham. Bless God for Billy Graham. He's in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not all of us are called to be a Billy Graham. And what I mean by that is this, to have great crusades where throngs of people come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't despise that. I think that's great. I think we should support that. And I think the church... And I know the Billy Graham organization does a good job in connecting with churches so that people from churches invite people and then invest in people for the kingdom. But for the average believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our job isn't just to win thousands and thousands of people or bring thousands and thousands of people to a place of confession in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to make them disciples. It's to share Jesus with someone and then teach them. Which to me means this. We share the gospel wherever we go, but when that opportunity comes and the Holy Spirit draws someone and we lead that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we take an investment in that person and we teach them what the Bible says about becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how to live, how to pray,
how to study the scriptures, how to live holy before God, how to love your wife or your husband or your children and so on and so forth. All the things, going to church, how to share Jesus. All these things are necessary, and instead of spending all of our time trying to win everyone, fulfilling the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, preaching the gospel to everyone, but making disciples of those few that we lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? When we do that, we produce, and I understand it's a two-way street. We can't make people become disciples, and a lot of people don't. But for that person who is just craving, and there are a lot of people out there who are just craving, someone, teach me how to understand this book. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to connect with God. Teach me about being filled with the Holy Spirit. That we take time and invest in those individuals so that the fruit of reproduction remains. We're going to end there this morning. We'll pick up on this point next week. We have a lot more to say. This may be a 3-week mini-series within a series of joy. I think it's important that we take time to talk about it this morning. But in closing today, let me ask you, is your life fruitful in Jesus? And what I mean by that, are you spending the resources that God has given you, your time, your effort, even your money, so to speak, in a wise fashion that will bring forth eternal fruit? Or are all your resources, you're doing a lot of things, but you're accomplishing nothing? God wants to make your life a life of purpose. And let me tell you, I've been there as an individual believer and as a pastor, where you're just so scatterbrained, you're trying a million and one different things to get people to know Jesus. Whether it's an individual level, your friends, family, coworkers, whomever it might be, or even as a pastor of the church, or are you connecting with the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring your mind and your spirit into focus in the name of Jesus, so that you can focus on the tried and true method of becoming fruitful, connecting with God and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And secondly, this morning, is your life reproducing? And I'll break it down this way. Number one, are you, and again, this is a very difficult area, although God's greater. Amen. Greater is He that is in us and He that is in the world. But do we have the mindset of reproducing in the name of Jesus? Are we sharing the seed of the gospel? Are we in our prayer time, in addition to praising God, bringing our needs before the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for others, our brothers and sisters, and for healing, and you know, all the different things? Are we seeking God for His anointing on our lives to be soul winners in the name of Jesus? Are we doing those things? And when someone comes to Jesus, are we willing to invest our time to bring forth fruit that remains in that individual, so that individual can become a strong, solid, stable, growing disciple, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow our hearts together this morning in closing, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to focus our lives once again on being fruitful. Because, and let me end with this as it relates to reproduction, making disciples. When you lead someone to Jesus, or when you're encouraged, and sometimes someone else has led someone to Jesus, I almost left this point out, but it's very important, just bear with me for a few moments. Someone else has led someone to Jesus, but God plunks this baby Christian in your hands, and you take time and energy and effort to invest in that person, help that person to grow, and you see them grow and experience breakthroughs in their lives. You enter into what's going on in heaven. The Bible says that there is more joy and rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 who need no repentance. Supernaturally, when we reproduce, it produces within us great joy. And let me tell you from a pastoral perspective, that also applies to young, undeveloped believers, helping them grow and become everything that God has called them to be, being that instrument of God's Holy Spirit. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have in you and the privilege that we have, Lord Jesus, to bear fruit. Lord, there are many, God, who need to find Jesus. There are many, Lord, people who need you, oh God. And one of the reasons, God, I believe many of us no longer have the joy that we can have is because we have lost our zeal and our passion to win people to Jesus. Bring us back, oh God. I pray that you bring us back to the essentials of our salvation. That we'd not only be reminded that we are born again, but how we became born again. And the passion that we once had, maybe to reach people for Jesus, that would be rekindled in our lives in Jesus' precious holy name. And help us, O God, in our prayer time to not, Lord, be people of a single or incomplete dimension as far as our prayer time, where we're bringing our requests to you or intercessing, O God, for others. But also, God, may we spend quality time seeking you for your anointing upon our lives to be the powerful witnesses that you've called us to be. Set us on fire. Use us this week. And bring us back to your house next Sunday so that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, might worship you in spirit and truth. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.